Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your host, Amy Enger, founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini. And today I have with me Allie, IFBB Bikini Professional. And she is a new rookie this year. She won her pro card at earlier this year in the summer. And she did her pro debut this year. And so I am excited. She is an Indiana girl just like me. And so I'm super excited for her to share her story and her journey to the professional league. So Allie, I apologize. How do you pronounce your last name?
It's Vaith.
Vaith. Okay. That's what I thought.
Yes.
So Allie, where are you living currently? What are you currently, what's your educational background and what do you kind of do for a living?
Okay. Well, I just want to say thank you for having me. I'm really excited to share my story too. Right now, I actually live in Florida. I live in Seminole, which is right outside of Tampa on the water side. I made the move about 2 weeks ago. So I'm still getting used to the area and acclimating to the beautiful weather, which isn't hard to do coming from Indiana.
Yeah.
On the day that I moved, I think it was 18 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
So wow. Yes. Other than that, I love it here so far. Education wise, I went to high school in Terre Haute. And then I went to Indiana State University, which is also in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Sycamore.
It's kind of a smaller town south of Indianapolis. And I got my bachelor's of science in exercise science. While I was in school, I really thought I was going to go back to get my master's, which I ended up deciding against after I got out of school. I just had other interests, but while I was in school to get prepared for that, I took extra classes and I really fell in love with like cardiac rehab, just any type of rehabilitation type of career. So I thought that was going to be my path until I got out of school. but I guess I don't really have any other certifications. I did work towards getting my ACSM clinical because that's what I thought I wanted to do. And then I decided against that.
So when you graduated, what was kind of the first job that you had then? And what are you doing now currently?
So I did my internship post graduation. They let me do that as like a summer credit, which was nice. And so I was working in cardiac rehab at Union Hospital, which was awesome. And then I was also doing like CrossFit and sports performance for children, just to kind of help out. So during that time, right out of school, I was just bartending a couple of days a week, really just when I had time because I was already working 40 hours a week with my internship. And I kind of used up all my savings through the summer from working all year long. Like I've always worked about 40 hours a week since I was 17 years old. So I paid for myself through college and through everything I've done. I was always a server, bartender. It just seemed like the most appropriate, the less amount of hours for the most amount of money. So I kind of got addicted to that lifestyle. I really enjoyed like fast pace, talking to people, easy money. And so when I moved from Terre Haute to Indianapolis right after I graduated, I got a job working at a bar. And I actually worked there for a while. And then I got a job doing fitness instructing. So I did like group classes. And that was probably my first like actual fitness related job after graduation.
Awesome. And so you had mentioned something about CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Where did you kind of start out after you had, what's your history like with weight training and kind of what got you into this world of competitions?
Okay. So I've always been super active growing up. always outside. Whenever I got old enough to do sports, I decided I loved running. I was really fast. I was always like that little girl outside chasing the boys, always faster than everybody. So I was pretty athletic in a sense. And I did track, cross country, and swimming all through high school. When I graduated, I didn't really do much in college. I worked out to look good. So, you know, it was like, oh, before spring break, beginning of the year, let's drop this little bit of weight and get abs again. And so, like, I knew how to work out. And obviously, that was my major. So it was something that was, like, kind of easy for me to figure out and to do. And I love doing it, but you know how college goes. So it was never a main focus of mine. So my senior year, CrossFit was really big. And I said, whatever, like, let's try it out. And it was in the same building as, like, my sports performance and, like, my internship. So I just thought it was really convenient to be able to get done with my internship and go straight to CrossFit. So I did CrossFit for almost a year, and I got really strong. I loved the training style. I thought it was super, super fun. And I really liked the little community. So when I moved to Indianapolis, I tried a few gyms out, and I just couldn't find any that were, like, small town vibe, like, really close. Everything just seemed so, like, corporate and industrial, and I didn't like that. So I was like, I'll just find a gym. So I got a gym membership, I think, at Planet Fitness around that time. I took about a year off, to be honest, from working out. I didn't really do much, and then I broke my ankle. I completely shattered it, and then I realized how I kind of been just blahing my way through life. And I think I was 23 when this happened, so 2015. In 2016, I was 24 by then, and I just realized I needed to make a change. So that, like, 2015 fall to winter into 2016, I started resistance training, real strength training. I love lifting heavy. So the second I could start running again, I did. I mean, I even broke my pins in my ankle that were holding my stuff together. So I had to, like, crazy. My second surgery, they had to open up both sides, take them out. And they're like, you're just too active. And I was like, I mean, it's hard to sit
can't
all the
stop
time.
Me.
Yeah, pretty much. So after I healed, I would still have a lot of pain. So a lot of my motivation came from getting better. Like, I did my own physical therapy. I did my own training out of it. And I just did a lot of heavy lifting. So I got my squats and my deadlift, like, easily over 200. You know, I was doing, like, sets at, like, 225. And I wasn't that big of a girl. I think I weighed about, like, 125, maybe 130. And, you know, I thought that I was building muscle and really creating, you know, the bigger butt, like the better V-shaped taper with my lats. And I was, and I wanted muscle definition back, because after my accident, I felt, like, really flabby. And I've never felt like that before.
And so for our listeners, how tall are you? Just so they have an idea.
I am 5'4".
Okay. And so we'll get to some of that later with, like, the competing stuff, but I just wanted to point that out. So from there, once you started building that muscle, kind of what was your first spark of the competing world? What inspired that?
So I've always, you know, I knew who Arnold was. My aunt did some bodybuilding here and there, so I knew it was a thing, but I thought it mainly was just for larger women. But, you know, back in the day, in 2013 was the first year that bikini became a division, if I'm correct.
It was a bit earlier. Yeah, I think it was actually in 2010, then maybe 2011. Yeah. So.
Okay. So, around, you know, I was still.
It was pretty new, especially in Indiana, though. I will say that.
Yeah, it was really new. Indiana, no one knew what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess just Instagram, you know, fitness pages in 2015 started blowing up, and obviously I followed, like, OG girls like Buff Bunny. Like, that whole entire group, and a couple of them started competing or would talk about competing. And so I followed them and their journeys. And I also followed a couple girls who just had these beautiful physiques. And I'm just thinking to myself, I want that. You know, I think that I can make that happen. Or maybe I, like, you know, who knows where this can go. So after that accident I had, I really thought to myself, I needed to do something that pertained to my education and to my interests and to my goals. And I thought no better way than competing. So I was lifting and training myself. And about May of 2016, I said, you know what? I'm going to compete. I have no idea what this really means, but before I, you know, get too scared and back out of it, I'm going to tell everyone I know that I'm doing it. So I made that good mistake, and then I regretted it all through the summer because I was freaking out. I'm like, there's no way I can step on stage and do something like this. But yeah, I guess that's kind of how it started. It was just like a weird, you know, transgression into competing.
Yeah, and so for our listeners, can you share with us what your first show actually ended up being and how you did at that?
Yeah. So, I decided around May that I wanted to do a show. So I started to prep myself. I started tracking macros, educated myself on that whole entire thing. And I did a 12-week cut. So my show is in September. I started that about in July. I started really cutting, and my metabolism was so fresh at that point that I didn't really even have to get that low on calories. I was still eating quite a bit of food and dropping weight pretty easily. My first show was the Grand Prix in Indianapolis, and I went into it not knowing what would happen, and I was super afraid of the stage, but I ended up placing overall in the whole entire show, which means I won my novice division, I won my class division, and then I won the overall division and all the bikini.
So amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And then from there, you kind of made a little bit of a drastic decision. I mean, it was a good one, because you had that fire and that path. And so can you tell our listeners what your next competition was?
Yeah, definitely. So, I did coach myself through my whole entire first season, but I did have help by my friend Stephanie, who is an IFBB bodybuilder pro. And she helped me with my posing and kind of helped me understand that bodybuilding was a very large world that I was just scraping the iceberg of, which I didn't understand at the time at all. So she goes, you know what? You did great at the show. You obviously have the passion and you want to make this a career. So go for nationals. I had no idea the competition. I didn't really know anything. So I got a plane ticket, and 7 weeks later, I was in Miami for nationals in
That's a big one.
2016. It is the biggest one, and I had no idea how big a national show was. I went in having a lot of confidence. I'm a very competitive person, so for me, you know, you always want to go for the gold, but I think I was underestimating the talent and kind of how much work you have to put into yourself before you can really even go pro. So I ended up getting fourth call outs in that, which kind of hurt me a little bit because I wanted a little bit more, but I pulled myself together and realized, you know what? I've just done something that I never thought I could do before. I'm on stage with some amazing people. I'm in Miami. So I just made the best of it. And that was the end of my season. So I ended there in 2016.
Okay, and so you're a driven woman, and you didn't want to take that as your final taste, I'm assuming. So, from there, can you kind of tell us about like what your off season looked like after Miami, and then kind of how you transitioned into your next year of competitions?
Yeah. So after that show, I guess this was before like flexible dieting was super huge and before everyone talked about, you know, reverse dieting to like such an extreme that we talk about it now. The sport still was, I would say, pretty low key for the most part. There weren't like all these like Fitspo people talking about it all the time. So I just knew that I was macro counting down. I might as well macro count up. So I did a little bit of diet on that. Like I was listening to OG people like Paul Revilla and Lane Norton, people who were putting out like real scientific based information. So I just did some of their dieting schemes, like just increase your food slowly week by week and decrease your cardio. So I did well with that that whole entire off season, and I knew I wanted to compete again. So around February I started shopping for a coach, as silly as that sounds. And it took me a while to find one. I found a team that was based out of California, and they seemed really nice and kind of had like a lot of the goals that I wanted, and they had a pretty large team, so I felt confident with them. My coach was really sweet, and we worked together to kind of build like an idea of what kind of shows we wanted to do. And I knew like I'm going to get on the national stage again. Like that was my whole plan. I wanted to go pro, but I guess something I missed was after nationals in Miami, I talked to Gary Udit on the phone. He actually called me and talked to me for about an hour and explained to me all these crazy things.
That's so nice that he took the time to do that.
Yeah, it was really nice.
How were
But
you
this
able to
was,
get that opportunity? Did he just
so I
send you a
sent an
heads up?
email asking, like, I need feedback. And he goes, I don't do feedback through emails, I'll
Oh.
only do phone calls.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, I'll
Yeah.
take that.
Yeah. So that was really cool. I mean, he unloaded a lot of information on me, but one thing he told me, which I don't know, this kind of like fueled my fire a little bit. But he goes, you know, it takes a lot of time and work to get to where you want to go. And he's like, and you obviously want to get there. And with this and that, like, I can see it happening, but I don't see it happening till 2018, meaning I don't see you getting your pro card till 2018.
Wow.
And I was like,
He was like projected your future.
yeah, no,
He
he
had a
really
crystal
did.
ball.
He knew
He's
exactly
been
what he
around
was
the sport
talking
for a long
about.
time, and he's
Yes, he
very,
has.
yeah, he's
But
very
being a new
knowledgeable.
person, I was like, what? How can
You're
someone
like,
tell
no,
me that?
I need it next year. I could
Yeah.
totally see that.
So that did happen. But so my whole goal was like, you know what? Like, I want to go pro, but I obviously want to do pro shows. National shows, that's the only way to go pro. So I found a coach and we started working towards my 2017 season. You know, just she did flexible dieting and macro counting and had like a workout regimen. And that kind of led me into my first show of that season.
And
So.
so, as far as that season went, you did several regional shows and then you ended up doing one national show. Is that right?
No, I actually took it off completely national-wise.
Oh, okay.
My whole
Okay.
goal was to do junior nationals in
Okay.
2017. So I did a bunch of regional shows. I started with the Pittsburgh pro amateur show, which I didn't come in tight enough. We touched a little bit on earlier my hypothyroidism. We thought I may have had that. So I kind of slightly blame my slower weight loss on that, but at the same time, was I working as hard as I could have been? I don't know. Probably not. But once again, I was working as hard as I've ever worked.
Sure.
And
So it's
that's
all
one
relative.
thing I can point out to everyone. It is very relative. You think you're pushing as hard as you can? Maybe you are. You're pushing as hard as you can at that point. That's as hard as you've ever pushed. That's as hard as you know you can push. But each time you keep going, which is why the sport's so ridiculously insane,
Yes.
is like you only get better the harder you push. I mean, the
Yeah.
growth that you see mentally and physically, even in 6 months, is just unreal.
That's
So,
what I 100% agree. Yeah.
yeah.
Can you tell us how your hypothyroidism kind of impacts your daily life or maybe like your diet
Yeah.
regimen?
So that year, I didn't know if I for sure had it, but it ran in my family really bad. So I instead of getting tested and stopping my season, I was just like, I'm just gonna get through this season and then test myself. But I noticed that I was very carb sensitive. I had to get my carbs extremely low to lose weight. I had to increase my cardio a lot higher than, you know,
than the
all these
person.
Girls that only have to do 10 minutes a day. Like,
yes.
I don't think many girls only do 10 minutes a day. And if they do, they're lying to you. that's another thing I noticed when I became a pro. Yes, especially with hypothyroidism.
Yes.
And I also just realized that I was like a lot more lethargic some days. Sometimes I couldn't really control like hunger. I was always generally hungry, but sometimes I would lose my appetite, which was weird. So it was just a really weird, you just didn't really know how you feel certain days.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from there, I kind of interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're totally fine.
From that progression of that year in 2017, kind of what was your takeaway from those couple of regional shows that you did? What was your, where was your mindset at that point?
Okay. So something interesting that happened that was kind of a turning point, I guess, for me. I realized that with how my body wasn't progressing the way we wanted it to, I wasn't going to come lean enough for my national show. So I did a show 2 weeks before the junior national show that I was intending on doing. And I talked to a few girls backstage and we were just like all kind of discouraged because, you know, you see all these really lean, really skinny girls with these, like, you know, the body that NPC wants. And we're just sitting back there like, man, I naturally have really large quads, or I naturally can't grow my shoulders, or maybe I'm naturally a larger, you know, larger woman, more natural body fat. So we were like, is NPC right for us? Like, can we even do this? Is this possible? And I feel like having that conversation was a little discouraging while it was happening, because it was almost negative, like, oh, this is, you know, we are not doing well because of this or something. Like, we're almost making excuses.
And like projecting.
But then,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then afterwards, I was like, you know what? Okay, maybe this is the truth. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're excuses. But what am I going to do about it? Am I going to keep doing this or am I going to quit?
Yeah.
So for me, I just decided, no, I'm going to make this happen. Like, I can change my body. I know that it's possible. I know the education on it. Like, I've seen it happen. I've seen these transformations in these other women. So why can't I do that for myself? So that kind of sparked my fire.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then not being able to compete at junior nationals, I just realized it wasn't my time. And so many of these things sound like cliche, and you hear a lot of women say it, but it really makes me appreciate the fact that it didn't happen to me then, because so many things happened to me in my off season, just pretty much that following year that just passed, that shaped me, that I don't think I'd be reacting the same way as I am if that happened to me then. Because I went through a lot, you know, mentally, physically, ups and downs with my weight, and just emotional stuff. And I don't think I would be even in my off season doing as well as I am right now if I didn't go through that.
Yeah. So I met you for the first time at the NPC Midwestern States in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And mm-hmm. You had won the overall in 2017 in bikini, and that was kind of a pivotal moment for you. Can you kind of tell us how that has shaped this past year and that experience in July that kind of set a new tone for your whole career in bikini?
Definitely. So leading in to that show, I still hadn't won a show, and it was going to be my fifth show of the season. And I'm very competitive, as I mentioned. So I really wanted to win a show. And I also wanted to go to a show where I could have all my friends and family around, because competing is kind of, it brings a lot of solitude into your life. So one of the things I really enjoy about competing is like having everyone I really care for with me during that time. So I thought, what a perfect way to end my season. Maybe you win, and then with all my friends. So I went into that show, and I ended up winning overall, which was really great. And then the lady who I now know as my coach, Sarah Lyon, was doing the interview for the overall winners. And we met, we talked. She seemed really nice. She came up to me afterwards and was like, look, who's your coach? And I'm like, I don't have a coach right now. I actually coached myself the last couple shows. And she's just like, oh, well, you just have so much, you know, potential. And I see it. And I would love if we can chat more about it and I could help you find that potential. And she just finally gave me that feeling that someone could believe in my vision of becoming a pro. Not saying that my previous coach didn't, I just feel like, you know, you connect differently with certain people. So when she said that, I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, that is what I want. Like, yeah. I want to do this. And I didn't really know much about her or the whole program she ran. But we started chatting and she called me on the phone and we just got stuff rolling. So like, shout out to Sarah for believing in my dreams a year ago or a year and a half ago.
That's awesome. And what advice would you give somebody coming from a background of different coaches and being a coach yourself? Like, what advice would you give somebody that's kind of looking, what are some key pieces that have been important and pivotal from bringing you from, obviously you have a ton of talent. I mean, you won the overall at the Midwestern States, you won the overall at the Grand Prix. So that's obviously speaking volumes, but, just that, I mean, it's a huge deal going from that to, you know, fourth call outs at nationals and then winning your pro card and doing your pro debut. So what are some of the things that popped out at you that are key pieces to being a good coach and finding a good coach, if you were to give someone advice?
Okay. Well, there's a lot. And I guess
it's kind of a loaded question. I know it's very person specific, but I mean, just some like general guidelines, some things that you've learned along the way.
Okay. So I guess the first thing I have to say, which is obvious, but a lot of people that aren't educated with the sport won't really understand, is that a coach won't make you. A coach can give you all the information, but it really just comes down to like how hard you're going to push yourself. So that's just something to keep in mind. Don't go in with false interpretations like, oh, well, this coach made this person pro and, you know, this person's looks like this. Well, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what the other person's done. You don't know if that coach maybe really is subjective to certain athletes. Cause I've seen it all, and I also coached some girls who came from some weird situations.
Yeah.
Things like, you know, you're like, oh, wow, that happened. Okay. So I guess that's important to think about. Don't like, let's see. Do your research, as in see what their training styles are. I mean, does this person believe in flexible dieting and you hate flexible dieting, like, or vice versa? Do you want to, you don't want a meal plan, but they only do meal plans. Also, like, let's say you have a male and you know nothing about competing. He might know, okay, yeah, look nice or book your tan, but really the shade of color that you are makes a difference. The suit color makes a difference. Having two bracelets, let me tell you guys, I have been told by a judge before to not wear double bracelets on my wrist. So if that makes, like, you know what I mean? So have a coach who really knows the glamour side. And that's like, you know, very important. Having a coach who also knows your division well. You can be a grade A bodybuilder, women's bodybuilder, let's say, really good at physique and figure, but those women build and grow and eat entirely different than a bikini girl. I mean, we're like almost the weird side group that does everything a little backwards in a sense. So like having them try to help us, if they really understand it, okay, yeah, go for it. Cool. But from my knowledge and from a lot of athletes that I've met, some of them don't.
Yeah. And it's hard too, just like, I mean, because females bring a whole another realm of just like hormones and different processes of the body that I just like, if you're a male, you haven't gone through that. So it's hard mm-hmm. to empathize, what I've known. And then, you had said to when we were chatting earlier about how she is great with posing. And I think that can be a really big factor too.
Oh,
if they
definitely.
Know how much are they around the different competitions, how much exposure do they have to the trends as they change so rapidly?
Ooh, that's a really good point. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Knowing the evolving evolution of competing in bikini, I mean, things change crazy quick. Mm-hmm. Just the level of competition, the color suits, everything. I mean, the posing styles, the poses that I did a couple years ago, I wouldn't do again on stage right now. Like, they're not as popular, they're not as wanted, they're not showcasing you the right way.
Yeah, it's funny. If you look back at, I did bikini, my first competition in 2012, and you look at the suit and it has zero bling. Like, that wasn't even a thing. The posing is so different. And yeah, it was an off the rack suit when it first started. So yeah, definitely get with somebody that knows their stuff. And so mm-hmm. I know I'm going to kind of jump around here, but she kind of took you through kind of a, you had a bit of an off season there, and can you kind of share with us like how she's helped you through your off season and how that's been different this year as opposed to your last off season that you kind of went through and some of those pivotal parts that she's contributed to?
Yeah, so I guess she laid out a foundation for me. She looked at my body and she knew, you know, we need to change A, B, C, and D. We need to grow this, decrease this, focus on this. You know, all these things kind of laid it out for me that no coach has ever really done that detailed. And you can look at yourself and want stuff, but you don't really see yourself for what you are. So it was really nice having like an eye that actually cared to know those details. So she created a workout plan for me, a meal plan for me. Now, something that I do have to share, I did really bad that off season. I did well the first couple months, so from July to October. And I gained just, you know, the normal amount of weight back that you should gain. And I followed the reverse decently well. I was doing the workouts. And then this is one of the things I was talking about that I had to go through to learn. And I think a lot of competitors struggle with this and go through this too, is my off season, I kind of just let go. Like I essentially just gave up in a sense on a diet. Like what was a diet? I was more concerned about drinking and gaining, you know, points with my social friends and, you know, just enjoying like the average normal life. Which doesn't mesh with competing.
the alcohol part, unless you
yeah, the
are
alcohol
hanging
part
out and not drinking,
not.
But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I gained a lot of weight. My stage weight, my lowest in 2017, I want to say I got down to 114, the lowest I've ever been, 116, something like that. And I got all the way up to 145 pounds in January. So I've, one, never been that large in my life. And then especially coming from such a small frame from competing, I was like kind of mentally in a bad place.
That would be devastating. I've been
there. Yeah, and it was weird. She helped me. Like, she was always very understanding about why I was doing it, but she was always in the back of my mind reminding me like, hey, this is gonna make your season really hard. Hey, you have goals. Hey, like, you don't want to keep doing this.
Right.
So finally, she's just like, if you don't start your prep now, there's no way in the world we'll get where we need to go by June for nationals to start competing. Because one of the things I told her was, I want to be a pro right off the bat. And that's what we ran with. I mean, so she helped me create the plan to start losing weight. So the first 3 months of 2018, I went from 145 down to about 130. And then we actually started like a real cut prep for my show that was coming up only in 3 months. And I had to lose, I think our plan was to lose about 15 to 18 more pounds.
And can you share with our listeners kind of, because I think this is one thing that's hidden. Like, I feel like a little bit on Instagram things get, I don't think coaches are trying to do like a disservice to everyone in what they put out there, but I know it's easy to like brag on clients that are doing like 300 mm-hmm. grams of carbs and 2000 calories and zero cardio, but like the reality yeah. is like, especially with someone with hypothyroidism, because I've been down the road. Can you just share with our listeners some of the, I mean, where your, you know, your cardio and maybe like how low your food had to get? Because I think that's something real that we need to know. Like if we do have a rough off season, it's going to, especially based on dieting history, like it's going to take a push to, and I don't think people realize how low sometimes you have to push to get to
yep.
that level. And so I don't know if you mind sharing that.
I'll share it. Just real quick, this has nothing to do with like a specific coach. This has to do with your own body and kind of how you treated it, as you said, in the off season.
Right,
I did myself
right. So disclaimer.
a huge disservice to myself by gaining that much weight that quickly. No one gains that much weight in that short amount of time, unless, you know, you either have a health issue or you kind of just go in a I don't care mode like I did. And I had both. So it was kind of like a double whammy at that point.
Right.
So I started slowly cutting my carbs week by week. Bi-weekly we did check-ins, and I started with my cardio. I think it was about 5 times a week. Started easy at 25 minutes, and I do like post-walking. About halfway through around March, we decided, hey, like we need to pick this up. We're not losing enough. And I told her, I was like, you know what? I've had problems with this in the past when I didn't drop my carbs low enough. Let's try some like, you know, carb cycling and, no more cheats, like no more carbs. And she's like, you know what? I understand, like, you know, your body, let's do that. So we aggressively dropped carbs and aggressively increased cardio. So leading up into my Kenosha show, I was, which was my warm up,
okay.
Right. The very beginning of June. I made the push and I got myself down to, I think it was like 117, 118. But leading into that, I mean, I was eating it's probably around like 1100 calories or less. Practically no carbs. I ate a grapefruit as my 30 grams of carbs in the morning, and I had 30 grams of carbs post workout. Usually that was it. Everything else, I didn't count, vegetables, like green vegetables as in spinach and broccoli and all those. So normally what I would do is every single meal, I'd have 1 or 2 cups of a vegetable. I wasn't like anal, like I didn't weigh my spinach and my lettuce, but I ate an abundant amount of it, but it's still spinach and lettuce.
So you're hitting fiber goals and all that
good stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my fat, this was another thing I've never really played around with, but we got my fat. It was never above 25 grams. We stayed between 20 to 25. I realized like I was getting very sensitive to everything. So since I got so high, my metabolism was so low whenever I started this cut that to get low, I mean, I was getting lower than I've ever thought I wanted to go. I mean, I remember we'd make another cut and I'd be like, okay, I'm not doing anything lower than this. And then I'm like, oh, I need to keep losing weight. I'll make another cut. So I got down to, this was before Junior Nationals. No joke. I think 1 week my carbs or my calories were down to 900. And I was working out, exercising 6 lifts a week. I was doing 7 days a week of fasted cardio for an hour. I was burning approximately 500 to 600, maybe even 700, depending on the intensity. I was doing sprints during my fasted. And then I was doing post 20 to 35 minutes. Half of it hit sprints, the other half hard incline walking. I was burning more calories than I was eating, essentially. So a couple of those weeks, I burned through 2 to 3 pounds.
Yeah. And I don't think people realize, like, I mean, for me, I was in a similar situation as you, where I kind of was in a binge eating disorder. And, you know, I packed on 40 pounds, and those faster weight gains are so much more difficult. And I don't think people realize, like, how deep you have to dig in if you rebound and, like, if you have that kind of, like, really rapid weight gain, it takes so long to get off.
And oh, so, yeah.
So for you, so when you did the Wisconsin show for your warm up, what was your weight at 5'4"?
I want to say I was between 116 to 118. I can't remember exactly what I stepped on stage at,
okay,
but I know that it was right around that weight.
And then you had Junior Nats how soon after that?
Mm-hmm. So that was 2 weeks after. I had a lot of confidence going to Junior Nats. I had a good feeling that I would get top 10, just based off of my physique and kind of how I was coming in. And plus, once again, like, my competitive mindset. And I also know I had a really awesome coach that was going to help lead me into that. So that show, I came in a lot tighter. So as I was telling you, I was doing those crazy food and workouts. That diet got me down to another 5 pounds. So I think I stepped on stage at Junior Nationals 5 pounds lighter.
Okay.
Can
you tell us really quick, this is kind of off topic, but what is the difference between your experience at Miami versus Junior Nationals? If people are looking into national shows, like, culture wise and just like the overall feel, like how quick it goes, how smooth it's run.
Yeah. So they all are different. Feedback.
Yeah.
Not bashing any specific shows, but there are some things you want to know. Nationals, generally in Miami, is the last show. It is, in my opinion, probably one of the most competitive out of the 5-6 shows you can get your pro card at.
Yes, yes. It's right at the end of the season. Everybody's being
Everyone's going for it. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lot of people who do an earlier show that have to take a break, and then they'll do a later show. And then there's a lot of girls who that could be their fifth show.
Mm-hmm. And they have,
you know,
some real
and they are
lean.
Yep. Yeah. And they have the recognition from the judges. The judges want to reward people who put in the work, and they see the evolution, which makes a big difference. You don't really ever go out the door and just become a pro.
Right.
It takes a few shows. So for instance, I got mine at my third pro show. The judges have seen me now for a third time. And then also I've done so many regional shows that other judges knew who I was still.
So what's Junior Nationals like compared to, and I don't think we've mentioned that your third show was your final pro qualifier. It was USA's in Vegas, but what are the differences between those? So you kind of touched on Miami.
Yeah. Okay. So Miami runs really quick. It's not ran very smoothly. I was backstage standing in a line for a very long time. We had a lot of athletes passed out at that show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was very odd. It wasn't what I was expecting, but once again, it was my first one. The culture, everyone's a lot skinnier. The classes are very large, and it's very competitive. When it comes to Junior Nationals, I was a little closer to home. It felt a little bit better. It was ran very, very smoothly. I mean, you can literally just walk in and get your information, your number. Whereas at Miami Nationals, I think I was in line for like hours. Wow. Also, at Junior Nationals, everyone seemed a lot more relaxed. The classes were a decent size, but people still were a little bit I mean, everyone's really lean for Nationals or Junior Nationals, but it gets more and more lean, I think, as you go through the competition season. So since it's earlier in the year, you see a little bit different in physique. I love that show, to be honest. I would recommend it for sure. USA's, I really enjoyed, actually. I really liked the venue. I really liked the promoter. The only thing that sucked was, like, backstage, there weren't large spots for us to sit. Gotcha. So we're all kind of packed into these two little rooms, which I would say that's probably my only big complaint. There were a couple lines here and there, but once again, you're with thousands of people competing. You can't really get around that.
And that one was extremely special. And so tell our listeners how you did there.
That was very special. I actually got my pro card at that show, and I went into that show knowing it was my show. And if I can touch on one thing, is you kind of know, and I know that sounds really crazy, but Junior Nationals, I kind of knew it wasn't going to happen to me. But going into Nationals, I just had this feeling. I mean, I told everyone that I was going to go pro. I told everyone that this was my time. I told everyone that, like, I was getting my pro card at the show. So you kind of have to speak it to believe it. It takes all the confidence.
I 100% agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have to talk like it's already happened.
Yes, yeah, you do. Absolutely. The confidence level shines through on stage. And I don't know what it was in me, but I feel like I just woke up and knew that if I didn't live and breathe that I was going to win, it wasn't going to happen. And I just walked around knowing it was going to happen. And it did. So I think kind of like talked it into the truth, but
and so
it was a very special time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you were class D there. Mm-hmm. And I know I keep going back to this weight, but I think that people kind of need to know where the level of peeled that is required, because it is extremely lean. So what was your weight?
It is extremely lean, guys. Another thing you need to know, you always could be leaner. Mostly. So I weighed, 5 pounds lighter than that first show. So I was probably sitting at 113, maybe 112 at Junior Nationals. And my coach was like, you know what? You need to lose another 5 pounds. Like, and that's also what the judges told me at Junior Nationals. They said I needed to be leaner. So what did I do? I spent the next 7 weeks, you know, not as low calories as I was, thankfully, but I was still working out just as intense and even increased my cardio. So I got down to a nice 109, which kind of freaked me out, the fact that I was under 110 pounds. But I had to get very, very, very tiny. So I either weighed, I weighed 109 when I woke up that morning.
So you had mentioned before, and I don't think the listeners knew this. I mean, I know you said that you had CrossFitted and you were really into lifting heavy, and you had built quite a bit of muscle. Can you kind of share how long you have gone without training your quads and your hamstrings? Like how long you had? We had to do the same thing with Chris. We basically just had to, you know, my pro, she had to go like 2 months with not training legs at all because we just had to bring that size down. It was like the same story, just two different shows. So
same story, definitely. So my first show, my feedback from the judges in 2016, I was just too big muscular wise. But in Indiana and certain states, they kind of like that. They like the muscular development. So it was kind of in my favor, which is why I didn't do as well at Nationals. So then 2017, we focused a lot on like metabolic training and HIIT and bringing down my legs. So to be honest, when I talked to Gary on the phone, he told me not to do any legs. He said long stride walking lunges, a couple kickbacks here and there, and call it a day. So I was kind of weirded out by that, but I took it and I stopped training like quad specific and hamstring specific exercises. So for the most part, like, I'm not saying I don't do squats, because I do like sumo squats here and there. I'll do plie squats here and there. But I do like 8-week regimens with my workouts mostly. And I'll one 8-week I'll do like plies, and then the next 8 weeks, like, we don't do any type of squats. So I don't do anything really heavy either. I guess it's been a year and a half, really. This is the first, this past 8 weeks after my pro show is the first time I've actually focused on growing, not my quads. I still don't do anything quad specific. But I have been doing more hamstring specific, because since I'm quad dominant, my hamstrings also, shrunk while I was doing all my cardio to lose weight for this season. So now we're trying to build my hamstrings up just a little bit to make them equal to my quads, because my quads grow like weeds. So even though I'm not training specific, my glute, like when I do glute days or whenever I do like even Stairmaster, I'm pretty sure like my quads gotta are growing them somehow.
They're really dominant. Okay. So at USA's, what is it? Is it the top, is it the top placement? Because every show is also different, like how you win your pro card. So you won your class.
Yeah, so USA's
how many?
Was really, really cool, because this, I think this is the first year I've really noticed that they do this, that they call the top three off, to compare the
in
next.
First call out.
Yeah. And I never really seen that before, but I did know that that meant like, you're pretty much going to get top three, like,
right.
So, whenever the top three girls in my class, we got that and got dismissed, we were just like elated. I mean, you know, I have all the fun pictures from that. And, I was nervous. I was kind of like, okay, so now I have a 2 out of 3 chance to become a pro, because at USA's they take, the top two girls.
Oh yeah. That's awesome.
So I was just hoping, you know, for that second or first, and I ended up getting second. So I won my pro card. When I heard my name not being called as third place, I just started crying.
That's so awesome.
The videos, it's kind of embarrassing because I'm like standing on the sideline, and like I just naturally walk like I'm like a little bit special on stage whenever I forget that I'm on stage. So like, I'm like hunched over and I'm like, you know, walking, like, I don't know how to walk in heels anymore, and I'm crying and I'm just like, oh my God, this is happening. Just crying on stage in front of all these people. Like, I could see Sarah's face, which is really cool. Like, I can always see her out in the crowd because she's always really close to the front.
Yeah, in the media
section.
And
she's just like out there smiling and crying, and I'm just like,
aww,
oh my gosh,
that's so
happening. Yeah,
that's,
it was
amazing.
Nice. And I actually went to that show alone, so
okay, yeah,
so having her in the crowd definitely was nice.
Yeah, that was so special that you guys got to share that. And so what, did you get any feedback after you got your pro card, and then kind of what was the determining factor that you decided to do the Hurricane Pro?
Yeah. Okay, so Sarah and I chatted a little bit before I got my pro card, saying that we would do a pro show to kind of see where I'm at. So after I got my pro card, the judges told me that they wanted me to grow my glutes a little bit, but everything else they really liked. Like, there wasn't much that they would critique me on. But their advice was to do a pro show to see how I kind of stood up to the pros and get feedback from the, I guess, the judges that want to see you on a pro level. So we decided on the Hurricane Pro. Oddly enough, I was planning a trip to Florida to scope it out because I think I wanted to move to that area because it was in St. Petersburg, which is right next to where I live now. And she's just like, hey, let's do this show. So I signed up for it. We prepped another 7 weeks. I spent the first 3 weeks eating a little bit more, doing a little bit less cardio. And then the next month, I just went back at it. My calories this time are a little bit higher. I had a couple of cheat meals here and there. And it wasn't as intense of a grind, but I guess that's kind of a weird way to put it because I was still grinding really hard, but compared to what I was doing.
Right.
Yeah. So when I went to that show, I ended up doing very well.
Yes. Up against the 2 to 3-time Olympians. There were three of them, and that
Yeah,
was
I
a
was
huge class of
freaking out whenever I saw that
so
lineup.
many
So,
people.
I
It's like
kind of
five
freaked out my
call-outs.
coach and everyone else because I was like, hey, I just want to fly out to Vegas and go to Olympia and watch it and have fun, which was a week before my pro show. I didn't tell anyone I was doing it till I was doing it, and they all kind of, you're crazy. And I was like, it'll be okay. So, I don't even know where I was going with that, but that was kind of like a funny little tidbit that I did before my pro show. But so I
Well,
watched all these
it
women
worked out
on
in
the
your favor.
stage. Yes, it did. And I was going against like Camille and Marcia, and just, I
Amy
mean, the list was
Landry. Yeah.
huge. Yes.
A lot of very
And
famous, yeah.
when I,
Olympians.
let's see, I was really freaked out, but I was like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Like, you know, I get to meet all these people and get my feet wet. But my coach being so motivating, she was just like, no, you're gonna get top five. I know you will. And I was like, okay.
Yay.
So she just kind of put that seed in my head, which once again, you have to think it to believe it. So I just kept telling myself pretty much the whole week, I'm gonna get top five. I'm gonna get top five.
And
Like,
she
I'm gonna
got
win this.
fourth. Or no.
Yeah.
Yeah, fourth, right? Did I
Yeah,
say
I
that?
ended up getting
Yep.
fourth place. Yep, in my first pro show. It was a very like exciting and scary feeling being up there. But I'm glad
Yeah,
I did
it
it.
looked great. Yeah, it was
Thank you.
your, yeah, your waist was like nothing. And she had shared with me earlier too. She actually dropped 2 pounds.
Oh yeah, I
You're
got
like
even
107.
smaller. Holy moly, guys. I was like, am I wasting away? I might fly away if the wind picks up, because I got down to that morning, I weighed 107 pounds.
Yeah, and so this has been such a great chat, and I think that you have so many cool things to add. I mean, I don't even think we got into the fact that you don't carb load and you pump with avocado. Some
Yep, I
interesting
do. I pump
tidbits.
with avocado.
Yes. So, if our listeners are interested in kind of like following your journey and learning more about you and where to find you, can you share with our listeners how to do that?
Yeah, definitely. So my main platform, I use Instagram. My name is Allie Vaith Fitness. So it's, or Allie Vaith Fit. So it's Ally Vaith Fit. I also do personal training programs, and I'm taking on some clients. So I'm looking to build my own little bikini team and kind of grow my knowledge and
Yeah.
my career that way.
And what's your website?
My website is alliefaith.com.
Okay.
And I'm
So,
actually redoing that right now. So, yeah.
okay. So DM her on Instagram. Yeah. And so I know we're wrapping things up, and I just wanted to share with the listeners that she has kind of experienced all sides of the coin, in my opinion. She, is doing a little intuitive eating right now, has done macros, has done meal plan. And just from talking with you, I mean, you kind of share the same foundation that we do at Glamour Girl Bikini, where everyone is unique and everybody needs a personalized plan to fit their goals. And if you have that belief, so if you can just share with our listeners like one piece of advice that a nugget that they could sign off with. So, what advice do you have for our listeners looking to do achieve the same goal that you have of being a
Yeah,
bikini
okay.
professional? Okay.
So if you know deep down in your heart you want to be a pro, It's never 100% certain. You're always going to second guess yourself. You're always going to think, like, is this possible? And it's not a long, it's not a short journey. I feel like compared to some athletes, I got to where I wanted to be a little bit quicker than certain people. So, you know, some people might take a year of national shows. Some people have been doing it for 5 years to get their pro card, even longer. So you just have to never give up. I mean, you learn a lot every single year, about yourself, about how hard the grind is. And you always just have to be okay with feeling uncomfortable and pushing a little bit harder, and not being afraid to really just focus on yourself, because the sport takes a lot of like dedication, a lot of time and mental strength that sometimes you don't think you have. So you just have to push through the hard days, embrace the good days, just keep a positive mindset and that goal clear. As long as you don't give up, I truly believe that it'll happen.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time. You are such an inspiration and such a sweetheart. And I just feel honored that you, your first podcast was on the Prep Life podcast. You've been amazing. I know that everybody has gotten so much value from this interview, and I myself have taken a lot of nuggets, and I'm super inspired by you. So keep that positivity. And this is Amy Anger with Glam Girl Bikini and the Prep Life podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.